Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you have no doubt heard, the longest-serving member of Congress, Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat of West Virginia, passed away this morning at the age of 92. He was in his 57th year in Congress and was known, among other things, for carrying the Constitution in his pocket throughout his career, a copy thereof. More recently, he voted for and supported health care reform and had become an outspoken opponent of the Bush administration and the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. We're going to play 1 minute right now of a speech that Senator Byrd gave on the Senate floor in the run-up to the Iraq War. This speech put the elderly Robert Byrd on the map for a whole new generation of young Americans.
The president has taken that support for our men and our women in uniform to imply support and even with validation of his policy. Now he talks about some sort of indefinite American occupation of Iraq. How appalling, that this president, who started his administration by saying that he would never allow our troops to be under the control of another government, now holds our troops in Iraq hostage to an Iraqi government that cannot govern. In the fifth year of this terrible, misguided conflict, this senator, this man from the hill country, believes that it is time for a thorough evaluation of the Bush war in Iraq. If we're serious about supporting our troops, we owe them nothing less.
A minute of Senator Byrd in 2007, I mistakenly said, introducing that was from the run-up debate before the Iraq War, but that was yet another speech that Byrd gave in September of 2007. And James in Amityville wants to comment on that aspect of Byrd's career. Hi, James.
Hello. I have to say that of all the speeches that I've heard given in Congress and on the Senate floor, I think that Senator Byrd, it just really sparked my patriotism in his in that speech, and also the one and that may have been the one that they allowed him to I think it was in place of a filibuster. The speeches that he gave objecting to the Iraq War were just absolutely spectacular. And for me, put, as you said, as in your run-up to or explanation of that, put him on the map for me as well, and I've felt that he represented the finest in government, actually.
James, thank you for your call. And with us now, Jackie Kucinich, staff writer for Roll Call, which covers Capitol Hill. Jackie, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How do we start to put the career of Robert Byrd in perspective? There's so much, and he was on different sides of, you know, all kinds of issues that might make our first caller happy or unhappy, depending on what year it was and what issue it was.
Right. I mean, well, start. I mean, he held more leadership posts than any other senator ever in the history of the Senate. And so, you know, this person was an institution. He wrote multiple books about the history of the Senate. So he really was ingrained. And I think a lot of people are grappling with the fact that he's not going to be around anymore. You know, I think one of the most distinct things, aside from his the sadder part of his career, and that being his issue with the Civil Rights Act, his 14-hour filibuster of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, something he spent his career apologizing for, is how much money he sent back home. I mean, that's something that will, I think, always be legendary on the Hill, about the billions and billions of dollars that West Virginia received as a result of his chairmanship of the Appropriations Committee.
Listeners, any more eulogies from you for Senator Robert Byrd? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So what does that mean, Jackie, what you just said? A lot of coal subsidies?
If you drive through West Virginia, highways, schools, military bases, prisons, anything you can possibly think of that would create jobs in his home state, he appropriated money to get it there. And in 1989, for instance, he said when he took over the position as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, he said that he was going to steer $1 billion to West Virginia in 5 years. He did it in three. So, that gives you an idea just how much money in a state that really was and still is in a lot of ways, but was at that time extremely impoverished. That's why everything is named after him there when you drive through to this day.
You could drive the Robert C. Byrd Expressway and the
exactly.
Robert C. Byrd Bridge and the Robert C. Byrd Interchange on the Appalachian Highway System.
And absolutely.
George in Manhattan has visited the capital of West Virginia. Hi, George.
Good morning, Brian. I thought I would just share with your listeners the fact that when I visited the state capitol, which, by the way, is designed by Cass Gilbert, who designed several famous buildings in New York, as well as the state capitol in Minnesota, his hometown, there is a statue outside. Well, there's a rotunda, and in the rotunda are statues of governors and senators, and not so much senators, people who were active in state government over the years. To the best of my knowledge, Robert Byrd was never an elected officer within the state, into a state office, but they have a huge statue of him. Now, he was not a tall man, but this statue of him is bigger than any of the other ones around there and just reflects how valuable West Virginians realized he was to them. So I thought I'd just share that
George,
with you.
Thank you very much. Is it possible, Jackie, to say in like the minute and a half that we have left, we have 2.5 minutes left, what the nature of his constitutionalism was? Because, during the opposition to the Iraq War and the way the detainees were treated and things like that, people cited the Constitution and how we were losing the fundamental constitutional basis of America during the Bush administration. Now, during Obama, people are saying we're losing the Constitution because of things he's doing with expansive government. Was there a Robert Byrd approach to the Constitution besides carrying it around in his pocket?
Actually, I wanted to note that he did serve in the State House. So just a fun fact for your listeners. So he was in the West Virginia State Legislature at one time.
Thank
it was
you.
In 1946.
Right.
So a long time ago.
George forgot.
As far as the nature of his constitutionalism, I wouldn't presume to describe that. I will say that he supported health care, the Obama health care bill. That was one of the votes he returned for. He was absent a lot during his last year in the Senate, and that was one thing he did return for. So I think it evolved. Much like a lot of people say the Constitution has. So, it depends on who you're talking to and what constitutional scholar,
Yeah.
But I think his views on a lot of things just evolved over the years.
Beth in Huntington, we've got 30 seconds for you. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I would just reiterate what was said. I really think it's remarkable, his ability to change. I thought he was a proponent of the Vietnam War, very, very strong proponent. And he was one of the few senators who had the guts to not authorize the present war. So I just think it is an evolution, and he was unafraid.
Beth, thank you very much. And in this election year, Jackie, and I'm sure you're covering this, working for Roll Call, is he going to be replaced by a Democrat in West Virginia? Are they going to have an election in November?
I think it's a little bit. I know that the governor. There was a question this morning about whether the governor was going to appoint someone or not. At this point, most likely a Democrat will be appointed to the seat. The governor is a Democrat, but I'm not. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest with you, if the actual special election has been set at this point. But I would imagine they're going to want to get someone in there.
Yeah, they're not going to keep an empty U.S. Senate seat from now till next January.
Absolutely
right?
Not. And I'll tell you what, they actually want to get someone in there quickly. If you're Harry Reid, because you have a financial, you've got the financial reform bill going through, and they're
good
a couple
point.
Votes short of a filibuster.
All right, Jackie Kucinich from Roll Call. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you,
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.